church right now because there's so many good things happening. Last weekend there was service going on, and you know, I just got to say, why we were going out Sunday, there was a small group, the Mamaleas and the Barkers and the Youngs, and they were out serving as well on Sabbath afternoon, and all those things are happening, and it makes such a difference when the community knows that we care about them, and the news gets out. And so I'm so excited. I know the elementary school, 6, 7, and 8, yesterday were out in the morning. Pastor Scott, Pastor Tyler from Fairmont, they were out serving in our community. Isn't that exciting to know? We're out there. It's not just about us. Church is not just about us. We are always thinking about people around us, okay? This week, you know, I tell you, I wish, I'm excited about you when you're going to learn to meet. How many knows Gary Blanchard? Anybody here? Probably not. Is there anybody that knows Gary? Yeah, my wife. But I met Gary years ago, and a very dynamic person, and I know you're going to love Gary. Please do not miss. Don't wait till next Sabbath to show up. Come Thursday. It's only an hour and 15 minutes. That's all it is. You know, shut off the tube for 10 days and come and hear a dynamic guy. You're going to love him. He's personable. He's dynamic. Tell stories, you're just going to love it. I hope you'll be here. It's a great opportunity to invite your friend. Have you ever tried to invite a friend? Hey, we have a 7-week series coming for 6 days a week. Is that easy to bring people? I don't think so. So this is 10 days, and I think once they come, they will get hooked. And by the way, that's the key in evangelism. They will come. The Holy Spirit will hook them, and they've got to have more. They just have to have more. And some of you have even been there. There's something about the Word of God, and it's going to be a powerful time. And I just want to say this Tuesday we're going to have a dedication prayer. We're going to meet here at the front, just kind of dedicate our meetings. Gary won't be here yet. Gary's coming in Wednesday. And then Wednesday evening there is going to be an organizational meeting. And anybody like to get involved? We don't even have it organized, but if you'd like to greet, usher, things like that, just be here and we will organize. And this is kind of a laid-back thing, you'll see. It's easy, it's not hard, but we need people to help us out in these meetings. And I want to be exciting. I can't wait to see who God's going to bring. People are already calling and registering, so that is very exciting. I want to say thank you to Wade. Where's Wade? Is Wade here? He's probably sleeping. We've been overworking Wade. Where is he? But I tell you, we've had so many computer problems. Anybody tried to call the office this week, couldn't get through? Poor Lana, man, she's been juggling, and the computer has crashed, and the church computer. But Lana, I mean, it's a miracle, Lana, that we even have the bulletin today, and it's all of that. But Wade has been helping us, and I tell you, Wade is such a blessing to our church, these young people. And one more thing before I get into the message, and that is, where is John? John McCann, where are you? I didn't see. Anyway, the men's group. I saw the men's group. How many are involved in the men's group this morning? I got a few hands. I think we had about, how many there? 12, 13 in there? Men? Right over here, 9:30, we got a men's group started from the movie Courageous. So if you've seen that movie or whatever, you know, this is an opportunity. It's a great opportunity. Now, the thing is, you have to watch the movie or read the book before you can come be part of it, okay? But it's a great thing that is happening for our men. I don't know about you. I like a good treasure hunt. Have you ever been on a good treasure hunt? I mean, even as a kid, I remember back in Pathfinders, back in Florida, I remember on this incredible treasure hunt, all the clues and all those things, and we were chasing. It took us all day to find the treasure. It was so much fun. Treasure hunts are a lot of fun, looking for hidden treasure. My wife, their family, they do every year. They do all these at Christmas time. They have this treasure hunt. And so we've kind of adopted that in our family at Christmas time. The best gift, the last gift, you know how you always, you know, you wait for the last gift, that big gift, till the end. And we have these gifts, and then we have all these clues, and they have to go on a treasure hunt to find their last Christmas gift. You guys any done that? Anyway, we love those kind of things, treasure hunts. They're a lot of fun. I love all those clues and going after treasure. It's a lot of fun. Well, this morning, in this audience, I have planted treasure in the sanctuary today. In fact, there's some really, really good stuff, and I've put it, and I'm going to give you a clue. It's underneath your pew. So everybody, you got to feel, now go ahead. You got to feel, and you got to feel really good. Okay, now if you have it, don't open it up yet. Just pull it out. You'll feel it. You got to feel really carefully. You got to look for it. Okay, wait. Now don't open it yet. Okay, I see who has it. Raise. I got one in the back. Okay. Okay, we got one back there. We got two. Don't open it yet. We got three. Okay, anybody else? I know. Okay, we got four. Somebody's got to look over in that area right over here. Okay. Okay, we got five. Okay, six. There should be two more. There's, okay, we'll see. There's one up, hey, folks, over here, this area. There should be one in this area. Okay, did I find? Okay, we got the one. Good. We got the one. Now, don't open it yet. I want to wait. There's one over here. I just want you to know I was here early planting treasure. Got one more. It's over here. It's about right. I'm giving you a clue. You got to feel right under the pew. It's there. We're going to wait for you. I see all those people. You're not even interested in the treasure. Oh, by the way, that one back there has $100 in it. Anybody interested? Oh, just kidding. Okay, I know it's there. But anyway, go ahead and open what you have, okay? Somebody tell me, what do you have in the envelope?
Money.
Money. How much do you have?
$5.
Oh, $5. Oh, you're saying, oh, that was no big deal. That's nothing, right? And I put $5 in all these little treasures, not much, I know, but guess what? It was free and it was more than you came with. Usually you go to church to give things away. You just got $5, right? And it was free. Now, I want to say something. You know, it's interesting to me, the more valuable the treasure, and if I said, by the way, I have $800 bills hid underneath the pews in this church, you think you'd have been more interested? There'd be a scurrying around, right? Now what if I did, there is one envelope under a pew here today that has 100 juice it up gift certificates in it. Would anybody be interested in that? Okay, let's bring it home even more. Now, what if I put in one envelope a certificate for a brand new car? There might be even some fighting going on for the treasure, kind of like the Pirates of the Caribbean or something, you know? I mean, if there was a car, literally a car, what if I had one that I actually put in the envelope that you're going to get a certificate that's going to pay off your mortgage? Yeah. Well, guess what? We have something much more valuable. We have something much more precious and more valuable. We have a treasure that we've been asked to give away. The Bible is filled with stories of treasure. Adventure. I know $5 doesn't seem like much compared, but it's a symbol. It's a symbol of the treasure that we have. Jesus said this in Matthew 13:44. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for the joy over it goes and sells all he has, and he buys that field. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, this is your word, and these are words spoken by you. I pray, Father, that our hearts will be open to what you want to say to each one of us today. In Jesus' name, amen. I was just a poor man. I was just a hired hand. I had to get up early, go to work every day, didn't make much money. I just kind of survived every day. You know, our family, we didn't have much. And we just kind of lived from month to month. And life was hard. It was really a struggle. But one day I went to work, and I was working for my boss, and I was out in the field, and I was plowing away, and it was one of those hot days, and I was sweating, and it was just a really hard day. But towards the end of the day, as I'm plowing away, all of a sudden, my plow jumps. Almost jumps completely out of my hands. And I just, what was that? And I look back, and I say, woe to the oxen. And I look back, and there I could see something shiny. I said, what is that? And I got down on my hands and knees, and I began to dig, and I couldn't believe it. As I began to dig, there was a box. And I said, as soon as I saw it, I said, this might be a treasure. Because, see, back in that day, it wasn't like the banks today. You know, some people would take their treasures, their money, their precious things, maybe their retirement, and they would actually dig holes in their backyard or out in the fields, and they would hide them. But sometimes the people would die, or they'd forget. They wouldn't remember where the treasure was. And when I looked at that box, I said, I wonder, could it be that this is a precious, that this is a treasure? I got down, I looked around, nobody was watching, and I dug it out, and I pulled it out, and it was a little bit of a struggle because it had been there for a while, but I finally got it open, and as I opened it up, I couldn't believe what I saw. See, this day changed everything for me. When I opened up the treasure and I saw what was inside, it changed my life completely. And I looked inside and there was coins and there was money and there was all these precious things. There was diamonds in there and there was rubies in there. I'd never seen a treasure like this in my entire life. And I started to dream. I started to dream, if I had this treasure, I could buy my own house. I could buy property. I could have my own business. I could give my kids a great education. We could live not just from month to month, not just struggling to get by, but we could have a wonderful life. Oh, if I could just have this treasure. But see, he knew it wasn't his. He knew that treasure belonged to his owner, the boss of that land. But as he finished the day, man, his mind is spinning. All he could think about, he put the treasure back, covered over, put a little rock there, didn't want to forget where it was. But his mind is spinning. How can I get this treasure? I mean, I'm a poor man. I just barely make it from month to month. I can't afford a piece of property like this. But he decides, he says, what if I sell everything? Can I get the treasure? Could I buy this if I sold everything I have? Could I get it? He goes to the boss at the end of the work. He doesn't want to be too excited, kind of nonchalant. Hey, by the way, you know, my wife and I have been talking, and we'd really like to get a piece of land. Hey, could I buy this piece of property over here from you? The boss says, well, it's really not for sale, but, you know, you're a good worker. You've been a faithful worker all these years. I'll let you buy it, but how are you going to come up with the money? You don't make very much money. I said to him, well, how much would it be? And he says, well, he said a number, and my heart sank because it was a lot of money. You know, it was one of those real estate times. It was a lot of money. And I knew I couldn't afford it, but I said, okay, and I kind of hung my head. Well, thank you. But if I put it together, will you sell it to me? He says, if you put that money together, it's yours. I go home, and I'm kind of excited because I said, man, can I make this happen? I don't want to tell anybody. I don't want to tell my family. I don't want to tell even my wife, because what if the news gets out? I mean, if the news even gets out to one person, guess what's going to happen? Everybody's going to be out there looking for this treasure. So I keep it inside, and I tell my wife, now, honey, you're going to have to trust me on this. And I start to sell things. I'm selling the chickens one day, and the next day I'm selling the cow. I'm selling everything precious that we have. I'm selling furniture. And finally it comes, and my wife thinks I'm crazy. I said, just trust me. I finally put out the for sale sign, and I sell our little house. It's not worth a whole lot. But I put on a price, and I got my price, what I was looking for. And finally the day came, and I sold the house. And after I sold the house, I got the money together, and I started to count up all the money I had, and I found out I had just enough money for that field. I was so excited, man. I tell you, I grabbed my wife. I said, come on, honey, you got to see this. And I took my wife, and I took my kids, and we go to the boss. I didn't want to act too excited. I said, hey, the money, remember, we agreed on? Here it is. He couldn't believe it. He said, I promised you. He signed a piece of paper. And as soon as I had paper in hand, guess what I was doing? I grabbed my wife and I'm running as fast as I can. I run out there and I said, honey, show. And I'm just dragging her across the field. And we get there and I dig down and I pull out a treasure. I said, honey, you got to take a look at this. And I open up the treasure. And I show what's inside. And I'm going to tell you something. My wife, I mean, she just, her eyes got as big as size. She could not believe what had just happened. And she starts to cry for joy. And we start jumping around. And we start dancing around. We were so excited. We can't believe it because this is going to change absolutely everything in our lives. That was a good day. It was a good day because it changed everything. And I'm going to tell you, it took everything we had. We had to sell everything. It wasn't easy. Everything we value, we had to give away to get it. But I'm going to tell you, the sacrifice was so worth it. Do you remember when you found the treasure? Do you remember the day that everything changed in your life? Vern, how many years ago? You said something up here. Remember the day that you found this precious treasure. You opened up, you looked inside, you saw, and your eyes, and you couldn't believe it, and you saw for the first time the treasure. When you realize how valuable, how beautiful, how wonderful it is to know the treasure of Jesus, who is the treasure of all treasures. See, when you experience Jesus, everything else loses value. When you experience the power of Christ, you will live for Him and you'll be willing to die for Him. When you experience the treasure of Jesus. This coming Thursday night, our church has the incredible privilege of giving away the treasure. Evangelism isn't just about dumping a bunch of new information on people. Opening up the Word of God and preaching the message isn't about just getting them all straightened out in their theology. Evangelism is when they come and they have an encounter with the living God. I'm going to tell you, think about it. The whole world is dark. The whole world is consumed with trinkets and little stuff that has no bearing on eternity. We have a treasure. And it's real because I tell you, I know it's real because it changed. Christ changed my life. And He's more precious than anything in my life. I can't wait for people to come and experience Jesus. And I don't care if it's few or many, the Spirit of God will be here on Thursday evening. And you will see lives change. And if you come, you will change again because the Word of God and the message is powerful. I was talking to Gary Blanchard, our evangelist, this week. And as we were talking, he was saying, Pastor, it's a short time. I'm going to tell you, we're just going to lift up Jesus. I'll tell you, it was like the violin was playing. We're going to lift up Jesus. We're just going to put the Christ in the center of everything. We're just going to see what happens. You're speaking my language, man. I can't wait. You're going to love Gary. I'm convinced that we have what the world longs for. I'm convinced we have what the world needs. I love our message. The reason I stand here and I'm still part of this movement is because of the message that God has entrusted to us. I've done this long enough, man. I tell you, we present a picture like no other people on planet Earth. I believe we give the clearest, the most wonderful, powerful picture of our loving God. And it makes sense, and it changes lives. Oh, I love it when people come and the lights come on. Don't you? It's like the light switch comes on, man. It's just like a light switch. Lives are changed. They're radically changed when they come and they hear the word of God. Yeah, we got a job. See, we got to help people find the treasure. That's what we're about. We're about helping them find the treasure. We're about giving them pictures of the treasure, what it is, what it means, how valuable. That's why we're here. In 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about that treasure. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we here's the verse. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the essence of the power may be of God and not of us. The light shines. The same God that shone light at creation at the very beginning is the God that shines light into our hearts. It's like the light comes on and we're filled with His light and it changes everything when you experience the light of God in your life. And what I love, it says, and these people that experience the light and the change of the gospel, and by the way, that's the context, the treasure is the gospel. It is Jesus, but it's His gospel, it's His message that we have. And God says, I'm going to take this message and I'm going to put my gospel, I'm going to put Jesus, I'm going to put that right in these fragile, breakable people that are broken, that are common, that are ordinary. I'm going to put my gospel in them. Man, the gospel is so powerful. When you really understand the gospel, it's so powerful, man. It just changes everything. The good news, the message of the gospel, I mean, it can take the worst of sinners and turn into saints. It's amazing. The gospel, you'll find forgiveness. Guilt will be taken away. You'll find peace. You'll find joy. You'll be justified. You'll be made righteous. God will sanctify you. He will change you. You'll become like Jesus. You'll be reconciled to the Father. You'll be adopted into the family of God. Is that good news? We're part of the family of God. What I love the most about the gospel and the Jesus I serve is that He wants a personal, intimate relationship with me. How can you comprehend that? That's the gospel. It's what the world needs, and we have it, and we've got to give it away. The treasure. The treasure in these earthen vessels. Look how it says it here in the Message Bible. I love the Message Bible. It says, remember, our message is not about ourselves. We're proclaiming Jesus Christ the Master. All we are is messengers, errand runners from Jesus for you. It started when God said, light up the darkness, and our lives filled up with light as we saw and understood God in the face of Christ, all bright and beautiful. If you only look at us, you might miss the brightness. We carry this precious message around in the unadorned clay pots of our ordinary lives. That's to prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power with us. As it is, there is not much chance of that. You know for yourselves that we're not much to look at. Paul was speaking, so he was saying, hey, I'm not much, right, to look at. Some people think he was a little bald, blind guy running around. But he's saying, I've got this gospel. I love this verse. That God takes this good news, the message of all messages, the treasure of all treasures, and He places it in these fragile, broken, ordinary clay pots. I wish the people of Lodi could know what we know. Don't you? I wish all the people around there, and by the way, last week, by the way, Sabbath afternoon, a bunch of young people, we have a new group, we were out knocking on doors, giving away brochures for the meetings. But I just wish, man, I was out there, and this one lady I spent 10 minutes with, I'm praying she comes. Her name is Christy. Pray for Christy. She needs God. But I'm telling you what, I just know everybody out there needs what we have. It would change everything. It would change their life. See, I don't want people to come. I don't want people to think, when they think of Adventist Christians, there are a bunch of weird cultist, legalistic type people that happen to go to church that they think on the wrong day and eat funny food. I want people to know that we're about Jesus. That's what I want. If they know we're about Christ, that we're about Him, that He's the precious gospel that we carry, that it is an everlasting gospel that we have. It is Christ in us, living His life through us. Man, it's not easy to get the attention of the world today. The world is consumed with the latest and the greatest, the temporary. And all these things have a little eternal value. And so we send out a brochure and we pray and we plead for God to use this method to bring somebody, and we always get a few. But can you imagine, just like I did with you guys, can you imagine if I put on the brochure, if you come to 10 meetings, a free car at the end? I wonder if anybody would come. They say it's too good to be true, right? Guess what? We'd have to have 50 sessions if that was really true. Or what if we just make it more realistic? How about 100 free gift certificates at Starbucks? Anybody interested? Nobody goes to Starbucks in this church. Well, the world does. And what's it going to take, you know, to get people? Well, guess what? God isn't looking for a gimmick or a trick to get people to come. We are the treasure. The light God wants to shine through us. And when God is living His life in and through us, you won't keep the people away from this church, because we have what the world needs. Jesus Christ, our precious treasure, in these earthen vessels. It's always amazing to me that God used people like us to take the message, the most important message in the entire universe. God wants to use us. Broken, frail, insecure, untalented people. Common, ordinary. On PBS, they have a show that's called Antiques Road Show. How many have seen Antiques Road Show? And everybody, when they look at that, they all try to go to the attic, or they try to go to the grandparents. They're trying to look for all these precious things, and, you know, these little heirlooms, or up in the attic, or maybe at the flea market or something. Well, one day there was a Mrs. Jones. And Mrs. Jones went to a garage sale, I guess it was, and she goes and she sees a little strange-looking little clown. A little, you know, ceramic clown. She picks it up. She pays $18 for the thing because they know it's fairly old. When she's on this antique roadhouse, she says, "Boy, I wonder how much value this has." And she she takes this guy, she gets a hold of this guy, and he looks at this, and he says, "How much did you pay for it?" She said, $18. He says, "I want you to know that just happens to be made by an obscure Polish genius who lived back in the 1820s, lived in Warsaw, and then Buffalo, New York. He made a few dozen of those rare ceramic clowns." And then this is what the auctioneer says. He said to her, "Well, Mrs. Jones, I have good news for you. At auction, I would expect this ceramic clown to go for at least $45,000. And the camera turns on Mrs. Jones, and she about collapses and faints right on the spot. See, God takes the common and makes us His errand runners, His messengers. And sometimes $18 becomes $45,000. And sometimes he turns vases that we call vases into vases. You know what I'm saying? Paul is saying, we're not like a vase from the Ming Dynasty, but we are like these cheap pots that we get from Walmart. You know what I'm saying? This is more like what we are. Sorry, I know, I think this is Judy's. Sorry, it's not that really a great looking pot. I'm sorry. But this is who you are and I am. We're not really good looking. Very few of us are really that good looking. And by the way, if this one had a nice big crack in it, not good for a whole lot. But God uses people like us. Frail and breakable people. See, if we anything we know about a clay pot, if I drop that, I'd break it. It's fragile. It's breakable. That's who we are. That's who we are. We all have limits, whether we admit it or not. We go and go and go, or sooner or later, life is going to catch up with us. We like to think we can handle anything. We can't. We think we're going to go forever. We can't. We think we can stand up, you know, and just keep going and going and do anything. We can't. We are a bunch of ordinary clay pots. That's all we are. And God takes the gospel of the universe, the good news of heaven and earth, and he places it in people like us, fragile jars of clay, perishing people who are here today and gone tomorrow. He uses. Take the gospel to the world. I see a world that is running hard away from Jesus. A world that's just running hard. They don't recognize that he's everything they want, everything they need, but they keep running. They keep running. And all the while, God is chasing. The paper back in the, it was back in the East Coast, and a story of a woman who was driving down one of those dark interstate roads on the East Coast one night. Hardly anybody out there is one of those abandoned places, and all of a sudden, she sees an 18-wheeler coming up in her rearview mirror. It's dark. It's nighttime. It's late. And the 18-wheeler comes up and then pulls beside her. And all of a sudden, she hears the whoosh of the brakes. And this 18-wheeler pulls right in behind her. And these big halogen lights are blinding her. All of a sudden, she panics a little bit. So she speeds up to get away. And he stays right on her tail. She slows down. He slows down. Oh, she is totally panicked now. What is she going to do? She's looking everywhere. How can I get away from this truck? What's he going to do to me? And she finally looks up ahead and sees that there's a gas station. The light's on. It's still open. And she speeds up to get ahead of him, but the truck is right there. Off the off-ramp they go. She comes screeching into the service station. She jumps all out of the car. She runs and screaming for help into the gas station. And that's... big truck comes screeching to a halt as well, flings the door open, jumps out of his truck, comes running over to the car, opens the passenger, the back door, opens up and drags out a man who had a knife in his hand. An assailant that had been in the car and was waiting for the right time to attack her. And here this woman was running from the wrong one. And I'm telling you, it's the story of our world. Because here we are at the twilight of eternity, and Christ is coming. But I see a whole world running for their lives away from the only one that can save them. Man, I got a treasure right here. And so do you. How many of you received the treasure? The people that received the $5, I'm going to ask you to give it away now. But the thing of it is, you can't give it to a family member. That's the only stipulation. And by the way, I can't force you to give it away. You can keep it if you want. But right now, if you have it, there we go. No, I'm not going to say it. I won't say it. Anyway, if you have the treasure, I want you to right now give it away. You can give it all five to somebody. Can't give it a family member. You can give it away to whoever you want to give it to. It can be $1 at a time. You can give it away. Or you can keep it. Who else had it over here? There was one over here, by the way. Oh. She said, no, I want to keep this. No. Okay. Now, I just want you to know, you know what the Bible says when we give away something? What does it say? You give, and it is given back to you. Okay, now, did you give away your treasure?
Yes, and I already got it back.
You did? Well, you get $5 more, and then an extra one, okay? Thank you for giving away the treasure. Who is over here? Did you give it away? Oh, he's working on it. He's struggling over it. Now he's probably going to do it. We got somebody young. What can I do with $5? Here he goes. He better hurry, guy. Who was over here? Oh, you had one? Did you give it away?
Yes, I did.
You get more. And see, when you give away, you always get a little bit more. That's the way God works. You give and he gives back. Excuse me. Who? Oh, I knew Debbie would give it away. See, you get it back. Thank you for giving away your treasure. Did you keep it?
No, I gave it to them.
I knew you gave it away. I saw you. Thank you for giving away your treasure. You can do whatever you want with that now. It's yours. Who was over here? There's somebody over here. I know I had somebody back here. Who had the treasure over here? You never found it. It's about right there. Or about right there. One of those. Or maybe right there under Jeannie. You keep looking. Who was over here? Let's see. Casey was over here. Casey, did you give it away? I knew Casey would give it away. The only guy I'm struggling with is the young guy back here.
Yeah.
I see this young person back there. Oh, look at he's giving it away now. Yeah, we don't know who that kid belongs to. Did you give away your treasure? Thank you for giving away your treasure, buddy. Did you guys find it? You didn't give it away. You're just going to keep it? I don't know about you, brother. You just keep that. Did you give away? Okay, because you gave away. Thank you. Thank you. You will never. Oh, by the way, I wish I could have given everybody $100 today. Wouldn't that be fun? But guess what? We have something more valuable, more precious, more what the world needs. Will you take the treasure of Jesus this week? Call up a friend. Call up a neighbor. Invite them to come with you. Sit with them. Pray for them. Let's see God work. Because when they really see and the treasure is open and they really see Christ, they'll be changed forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is so good to be here with my brothers and sisters. Lord, it's kind of a little bit of a humorous illustration, Lord. But God, remind us of who you are and what you've done for us. That you're the God that came and showed light in our darkened hearts, and that you changed us. Because we love you so much, we want to give away the treasure. We want to give away what is precious to a world that is lost. Father, may that you bless our evangelistic efforts. I know Gary's going to lift you up, Father. I pray that you will bring people. There won't just be a handful of people here hanging out, but we'll see the power of God work. And lives will be changed. God, teach us how to open up the treasure for people. Show us how to help people find the hidden treasure of Jesus. God, thank you. Thank you for what you're going to do. I'm praising you ahead of time in Jesus' name.